Scratch the rich, feed the poor, tell there are no rich no more. I love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I
keeps on breathing. Nation. Going to get this thing started. I guess we are. Here we had a little kind of technical snafu. Don't know what the problem was, but evidently we did overcome it. So let's see if we can get started again here on the Father's Day edition. That sounds like a father's life, doesn't it? Father's Day edition here at the Radio Ranch on the RBN Sunday night version, and of course the house that John Stadtmiller built, and this is the slot that the late Ralph Winterout pioneered and held for so many years. I'm honored to be following up to Ralph and have this talk to this fine audience. He's built a very aware people out there. So let's see, what is today? Oh, it's Father's Day. Yeah, we said that already. That's the 19th. See if I can get a sip of water here, overcome all this. A little bit of a rocky start there. You don't usually have that. Don't know what it is. So anyway, hopefully we get the problem straightened out, and we won't let it defer or deter us from doing what we need to do here, which is to get with you guys and answer some of your questions, have a little conversations with you, and find out if we can do anything to help you get your arms around your freedom. It does take some people some time, and a lot of it is education. A lot of it's just knowing and understanding what's going on. And then when you don't understand it is when the intimidation and the fear factor set in. And I alluded to that last week. I'm going to go into it here in a minute at the first of the show tonight because it's on my mind. And the deeper I get into this, I think the more I understand the importance of it in the way that our enemies utilize it, weaponize it to proffer and progress their agenda. But regardless of all that stuff, let's see if we can catch a breath here. What happened last week is I had this in case there wasn't anybody that called, and sometimes I can't imagine somebody not calling, but sometimes there wasn't. And so I was thinking, well, what am I going to do if nobody calls in here to ask a question or say hello or whatever it is you want to say? And we're going to do that and take calls, and I'll give that number in a minute if you don't know it. We'll get into it as we get into the meat of the show, but I like to also use the program, and what my whole deal with this thing is education. That's the way we're going to affect any change of any substance in the future, is with properly re-educating, because they've done a great job of diseducating and getting us into a place where they can pull all this stuff over our eyes because we don't know what's happening. So anyway, over the years, as I've come to understand this stuff and put as many hours of personal thought into it and study as I have, which has been, I couldn't even estimate how many hours. Well, one thing that became real apparent to me as I've learned about the their weapons system. What's their weapons system? Or their weapons system is the Babylonian Merchant Code. And, you know, I was thinking of this morning, actually, and that my teacher, John W. Benson, where I learned all this stuff you guys are learning. He was a good teacher and I was a good student, and you're going to hopefully be the recipients of me as a conduit here for you. But back there in Revelation, very important, Revelation 18, and we could go over it. I'm not going to go on to it in depth tonight, except this part of it. It says they have fornicated with the nations and have charmed them, overcome them with her sorcery. Okay. And so John went to the dictionary to look up the definition of the word sorcery. And one of the definitions under sorcery was chance. You can see that. Okay. And he said, I wonder if the chant is UCC, UCC, UCC. Because you see, that's their weapon, is the Babylonian code and how they use it against us. And as I've come to understand that and think about it over the years, I've really concentrate on, they stick out like a sore thumb. I've thrown a term around here. We maybe even have talked about it a little bit. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth tonight before we start yakking with you guys here. And those are self-help remedies. Self-help remedies. Now, you know, the Babylonian Merchant Code is not a bunch of evil laws that originally originated even maybe before Samaria, and then were perfected, really, to the platform that is utilized today and has been for thousands of years now in Babylon. It was called the Babylonian Merchant Code. And, of course, this is what the Israelites, when they were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, this is what they were exposed to over there. And this they brought back when they were released, and this is the melding of their political philosophies and this Babylonian code with these laws of can be weaponized. See, you know, everything is dialectic, as we've talked about on here so much. Everything's got a good and an evil side, cars, knives, guns, everything else. Anything in the world's got a dialectic. Okay, and so all they're doing is they're taking something that originally was intent to be neutral, really, used for good and some other purpose, and they've weaponized it. And that's exactly what they've done with these self-help remedies. And I've come to the conclusion, personally, this is my own conclusion, that this is the forebearer, the harbinger of tyranny, are the way that these self-help remedies are utilized and dispensed, if you will. And self-help remedies are a remedy. You know, we've talked about briefly the formula that runs the world: R plus D equals R. R plus D equals R is incredibly important, and that stands for rights plus duties equal remedies. And you'll notice that remedies over on the right side of the equal sign is equal to both the rights and the duties on the left side. So remedies got some, it's got some big wampum, man. You know, it's important, okay? And as I've said for many years, you hear a lot of people in the Patriot Movement talking about rights. They throw that term around, don't even know what they're talking about, constitutional rights. Which ones are those? Which rights are those that the document gives you, your constitutional rights? You want to tell me? The only rights that document gives you is civil rights under the 14th Amendment. All the rest of them are protections for people that have God-given rights. A little bit of a difference. Seems like you ought to know those terms when you flash them around. Anyway, you hear a lot of our people liberally use that constitutional rights. You hear a few of them occasionally. Maybe every now and then mention the word duty. You virtually never hear them talk about remedies. Okay. And remedies as are equally as important, as it shows in that formula. This is in the remedy section, the self-help remedies. And, of course, the difference in the Merchant Code and the Babylonian Code is my friend Brent Winterson he's so brilliant at simplifying these things down. You see, the common law revolves around the process. And the idea is, if the process is followed strictly and correctly, the outcome will always be correct because the process was correct. The facts were there. They were equated. They were justified. This happened. That happened. You go through a process of examining all those things in their proper perspective at the proper time, and you come up with whatever the decision, the verdict is. Okay, well, the law of the city, as he calls it, the Babylonian Merchant Code over here, that's totally different. Their whole laws are written to get an outcome, to produce an outcome, and not to care about the process, see, so, as much, or at all, some instances. So, the law of the land, nature and nature's God, versus the law of the city. Those are the two groups of laws in the whole world. Okay, the law of the city encompasses all the, you know, Judaism law, the Roman law, Muslim law. All those things are based around that Babylonian merchant code and those ideas, and that idea that their laws determine an outcome as opposed to the outcome determining what should happen and be applied and whether it's a just or an unjust law. Okay, so these remedies are really, really important, and it was a way to avoid more of a formal court setting, which makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things that are very logical here, and that, you know, you'll understand that, because you can get in a common law situation where you've got courtroom settings and juries and all the things that go on in this process type thing, is you can get those real backed up, you know, and you don't have time to cover all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of things in court have been designed to try and expedite those and get rid of a major part. If you can get rid of them in arbitration and other ways and get rid of them, and let's take the serious ones that we can't get rid of and, you know, take up the court's time with all that, okay? But it is time-consuming, and that means expense, obviously. So what they developed years ago, I mean, you know, thousands probably, I don't know when self-help remedies issued the picture here, but it was before Rome. Okay, so I'm sure it's in the original part of this. And what they did was they figured a way to write the remedy into the contract. So instead of going through a court deal and getting a judgment and then you got to go register it, and they take and write all of that procedure into the contract. Okay, and these are called recognizances. And so a contract that is going to execute a self-help remedy, I'm going to use an example. It may not be exactly like one of these, but I think you'll at least relate to the example, see what I mean. Anytime you buy an automobile and finance a car or a truck, okay, and they don't want, if you miss a payment, they don't want to have to wait and go through a very formal procedure, get down there, fight a docket, get a court case, get a hearing, get in there to find out you hadn't paid for the last 4 or 5 months, and then they issue a judgment so they can come seize the truck. You might be down in Tierra del Fuego by that time. Okay, so this is one of those situations where you can see very easily the application of these self-help remedies in the positive way that they can be applied. But here's the basic structure. The contract has what a clause in it that's called a recognizance. Okay, a recognizance, and that is simple, even though it sounds fancy. Of course, recognizance is the root word of it, is to recognize. And so all that means in the clause is that you recognize another body of law somewhere. And in the case that we're using here of our purchasing a car or a truck, the recognizance in that financing contract is going to be to whatever the state statutes are in the state you're living in, that you're buying that car in and going to tag it in, more than likely, that they say on overpayment, because the legislature has decided when they can come exercise these remedies and come seize the car if you haven't paid it, maybe 60 days. On the 61st day they can come. But that's in the contract that you signed. And so the remedy's written into the contract, and it's got another clause in there that's called the defeasance. Okay, and the defeasance means from the root word defeat. All right, so every month when you make that payment, that's a defeasance, because you're defeating the remedy that they don't have to go execute or worry about executing, because you paid your payment with the defeating the remedy. So for however long that contract is financed, over how many months, every time you pay that, you're defeating the remedy that's lurking in the background, that if you don't meet those requirements, they're going to pull the trigger on. And all that means is when it's the 61st day, just hypothetically in our example, the 61st day, they're going to come out, they're going to come out with a tow thing, or they're going to come out with their little fancy key that can turn on the electronic ignition and whatever else, and they're going to take it away from you. And you're going to go, how the heck did you do that? They didn't have a judgment or nothing. Edna? Okay, well, there's some music. I don't know if that's somebody's, whoever's pulling the trigger's got some music, so we're going to come back on the other side of executing a self-help remedy. See you there in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Maybe people learning about self-help remedies, a little bit of that may change the world. A little bit of education goes a long way, doesn't it? Listen, as soon as I'm finished with this, may take a few more minutes. I certainly want to talk to you guys this evening. So let me go ahead and give this number out in case you don't have it, in case you're one of the new folks, hadn't been around here, one of these regular RBN listeners or something. Anyway, the area code's 512, down in deep in the heart of Texas, 512, and the prefix is 248-8252. I'm going to give it one more time. Area code 512, prefix 248, last number 8252. Go ahead and line up if you want to yak, ask a question or whatever. I'm going to get back up to this little teaching episode, this little teaching moment here, and continue to talk about, we're talking about self-help remedies, and they're set up in a contract, and the clauses are called a recognizance and a defeasance, okay? And I'm going to take this, that could be just a general contact, and that contract, even with those clauses in there, may not be what is the main contract that we're usually interested around. Here's the good ones that our boys and friends over at the Individuals Representing Satan want you to file and sign on an annual basis. Now, those have a recognizance in them too, and that's what triggers IRS to be able to use self-help remedies, which are lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure.
So even though you might not know what self-help remedies are, I'm explaining to you what they are, how they work, how are they set up, how they've been weaponized by these thugs, and the legitimacy of them, really, in the overall, but just another way of when you understand this, see, there's no more fear. There's always a process back there that happened. It's not like the one of our cute little female tax students in our tax movement years ago. We didn't know all this and just trying to learn a lot of this complex new stuff, and she got her car seized one morning, and I get this phone call, this fanatic female and frantic, Roger, they're stealing my car. Well, no, they weren't stealing it. They were exercising these self-help remedies. Hello, where's that coming from? That's unusual. You hear that connection thing, Sam? There was something right there. Yeah, I heard it. You want to hear? You got the plug there? Spit. Put some spit on it and put it back in. I'll take care of that. Okay. So anyway, she's yelling, Roger, they're stealing my car. Well, that's the perception people get because they, Roger, they took all the money out of my bank account. They got my employer to take all my money out of my check. These are all self-help remedies, and the people that don't understand this stuff and have a perspective of it, an understanding, think that they've got all of these powers, and they automatically portray that these guys got all these powers. They don't have it. You gave it to them. It was in the contract. They're exercising something to weaponize it, and you don't understand it. And I've always thought that this is the forebear, the harbinger of tyranny, the way that they come in and use these to terrorize people. Now, the important part of this that I really wanted to get to that now you can maybe understand a little bit better is what we know now 2,000 so years ago. This is what changed Rome, are these remedies, these self-help remedies, okay? And the Romans, the first 200 years of Rome, they may have been pagan, okay, but they were under nature and nature's God. They were there were these formal court proceedings with these types of procedures, and they were run off of something called, believe it or not, the Ten Tablets. And we don't know what was on the Ten Tablets, but we know they existed. And that's what ran the laws of Rome for the first 200 years, a lot of families and clans, very clannish in this formal law system. Well, as they started becoming successful and conquering adjacent territories, the merchants in the adjacent territories now wanted to come to Rome. They were part of Rome now. Rome's the center of action where all the commerce is going on, and that's where they want to be. But they don't use Roman civil law, and it's called the jus, J-U-S, civil, C-I-V-I-L-E, jus civil, the law of the civilian, if you will, the law of the citizen. And that was the formal way that Rome had dealt with their legal system. As these foreign merchants came to town, they brought the Babylonian merchant code, you know, the merchants of the earth. It's just replete all through the Bible. I mean, what law system do you think the merchants of the earth use? Well, they use the merchant law, okay? And so that's what's going on there. And as the Roman citizens having to go do formal court procedures could see the foreign merchants dealing and having these remedies that were built in. If there was some sign of a grievance in the contract, they could execute the remedy without going through that formal court setting. Okay? Time, expense, and everything else. And so in Rome, the attorney general was a guy called the praetor. You probably heard of praetorian guards. He had his own army, for God's sake. Some periods of Rome, they're the ones that ran Rome, were the Praetorian Guards, all right? Well, the praetor, Rome was smart enough and understood the power that position entails, and they would only allow a praetor in there for a year at a time, okay? So the praetors did exchange every year, and the habit was that you'd take the body of laws that the praetor that you inherited it from were using, and you'd come back and adhere to that. So it went on pretty seamlessly. Are we got music coming in here, Sam, or what? Okay, all right. We're talking about the praetor and the change of the law in Rome. And we're going to talk some more about it right now in a minute.
What, the truth? You can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Dr. Fauci has COVID-19. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Dr. Anthony Fauci tested positive for the Wuhan flu and will follow his own recommendations, I'm sure. After two vaccine shots and two booster shots and often wearing two masks, he still got COVID-19. I thought this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. In about a week, Dr. Fauci will praise the jabs for keeping him out of the hospital. He will claim that he only survived because of those jabs. Conveniently, two claims that cannot be proven. He will get his time in the spotlight again, which I am convinced is all he really wants. Well, that and all the money he's made off of Big Pharma. Don't miss the Liberty Lighthouse live stream tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with former Mafia capo Michael Franzese discussing his new book, Mafia Democracy, at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Ibis Pashem Parabellum.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
See if we can get back 2,000 years ago or so to Rome and this transition that I've been building up to telling you about so far this evening. And this transition from the jus civil, which was the law of the citizen, if you will, the first 200 years of Rome, more of a nature and nature's God common law type approach, over to a hybrid system called the jus gentium, or the law of the foreigner. And this is the way that was happening. And as I was telling you when we stopped a minute ago to pay some bills, the praetor was the attorney general of Rome. He's very powerful. Rome knew that you didn't want to amass a whole bunch of power. They only let praetors in there for a year. So the custom was when the new praetor would come in, he would follow the previous praetors, plural, decisions and how they'd built the body of law that operated Rome. Well, now all of a sudden Rome starts becoming incredibly successful militarily. They're conquering all kinds of adjacent lands. Their empire's building. The merchants in the outer stretches of the new territories want to come to Rome to get the action going on, and so with them they bring whatever the goods they were in this custom, this Babylonian merchant code that operated all over that world, now all over still the world today. It's what governs the world, really. And
So as they're doing that, the Roman citizens see that they've got a very easy, convenient way. Yeah, Sam, tell them we'll be with them here in a minute. Easy way of remedy, and the Roman citizens go to the praetor and say, we want that. We don't want to have to go through court and go through all convenience. That sound familiar? We don't want to have to go through all of that formal stuff over there when we can just do this. And so over a long period of time, actually it's 200 years, over a period of time with these under the color of law, under the theory that a Roman citizen was a foreign merchant, the praetor incorporated that aspect and parts of the merchant law into the jus civile. And the jus civile now became the jus gensum, or what we'd call the Code of Justinian, and the Roman civil law, which is what our United States Code is today, and the other codes of the world. The Bismarck Code, the Code of Napoleonic Code, all those are all law of the city, got all the same thing and all the same trappings, and that's basically what we're talking about. Now, before I talk to our caller here, whoever called in there, Sam, I wanted to just go back and talk about this contract and these specialty contracts and the fact that the 1040 form, which are buddies, the international thugs at the individuals representing Satan, what they proffer you is also out of this Uniform Commercial Code, Babylonian Merchant Code, over in the section of specialty contracts, and it's called the English refer to it as statute staple. What we refer to it as is a 1040 form, and it's technically called a Jewish shetar. Okay. And S-H-E-T-A-R is how they refer to it. If you'd like to learn more about that, over on my website, Sovereign T-O Surf, Sovereign, spell it out, Surf, to surf.com, on the right side at the top under the resources section, there is a very, very in-depth, scholarly, well-written tome that was actually published in the Georgetown Law Review. Back in the 1970s, very prestigious law review, written by a Jewess, Judith Shapiro is her name, and the title of the article, I believe, is How the Jewish Shetar Invaded the English Common Law. Now, if you want all a bunch of technical and a bunch of historical, very accurate, very good article, a little bit lengthy, not too terribly lengthy, but if you're interested in the subject, there's a lot of good information there. But what the Jewess Shapiro fails to tell you, us, is that the Jewish Shetar is a 1040 form. Sam, who we got? Somebody called in? Dave in Nevada. Hey, Dave. I got some.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dave? Happy Father's Day. Hope you're having a good Father's Day for your father.
I'm not a father, but still having a good day.
Okay, good deal. Well, I'm not either, and I am too, so it's just in the same boat.
Yeah, I just had a few questions about, I have a passport.
Yeah.
A regular United States passport, and I have a driver's license.
Okay.
And so I just have, like, I just have some general questions about that, because whenever I apply for work, they ask for, there's an A category, a B category, and a C category for your identification.
Are you talking about on the I-9?
Yeah. Okay. And so I guess the C category is just the passport, but the other one is like you have to have your driver's license as well as your Social Security card in order to apply for work.
Well, I tell you, I don't hardly know anybody that's got their Social Security card.
I don't have mine either. I lost it.
Dave, on the original one, you know what it says, don't you? Play it, print it in red ink. Yeah, on the original Social Security card they gave you?
No.
Yeah. It says in red ink, this is not to be used for identification.
No, I didn't know that.
Yep. Seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah, and so, I've always been curious about this. Why does the passport alone serve as a substitute for the combination of both the driver's license and the Social Security card for identification.
That's a really good question, Dave.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, let me ask you a question. You know why the Secretary of State has this authority that he does over total authority over this subject matter here?
No, actually, that's a good question. That's another question that I've always wondered about. Why does this, first of all, what exactly is the Secretary of State? Secondly, why do they have all this power over your ID and your passport?
I'll tell you what. Well, we're just going to go. Let's give a little another teaching moment here on the whole background of the thing, because that baffled me for years, too. You know, when I was a puppy in this thing many decades ago, and I was doing copious amounts of everything I could get my hands on, I'd read. And this is before any of this stuff was on the internet. So if there's anything that I saw that was a book, and I'd open it up and I'd get the address of the publisher, and I'd write them a letter and say, send me a list of everything you got. Okay, and I was just devouring this stuff, staying up late at night. And one of the early ones I read was Eustace Mullins' Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Okay, the original Federal Reserve. I don't know if you know John Birch. John Birch basically put G. Edward Griffin on contract to write the Secrets of Jekyll Island, so he could write the Zionism aspect out of the damn book. Okay, because John Birch is a counter-control organization, and Eustace Mullins wasn't, all right? But in Eustace's book, I'm reading in the middle of the night, I'm totally pretty well green on this stuff, and it goes, as soon as they took over the Federal Reserve, the first cabinet position they went after was the Secretary of State. And I thought to myself, well, man, that Secretary of State, he deals with foreign countries and stuff. Well, why the hell wouldn't they go after Treasury first? Okay, well, little did I know that I found out all these years later, now that I understand it, you know, it's like, ding, 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 okay? Well, the Secretary of State has the ultimate responsibility over issuing passports. This is one of the areas in the early days of the country that the states had problems with, because they needed something central. Each one of them didn't want to have an ambassador to Paris, an ambassador to London, their own navy, issue their own state passports. No matter who tells you in our Patriot movement that states used to issue passports, they didn't, okay? It's always been the jurisdiction of the Secretary of State, because he's the one that is responsible. Under the law of nations, a passport is a document which represents you to foreign nations of your character, who you are, and wouldn't that entail what your legal personality is? You know, not only who you are, Dave from Nevada, but Dave from Nevada, the citizen of the United States, or the alternative is Dave from Nevada, the U.S. national. Okay? But he's got that discretion and decision. And these creeps knew how they were going to set this system up, and it was all going to run on you being in this purported slave category, and that's why they went after the Secretary of State first. Because it's the basis of everything. The basis of the whole money system. They're collateralizing your future labor to be collected through a taxing mechanism to go back and pay the coupons on the bondholders who are buying bonds at bond auctions and giving copious amounts of money, and that's the money that runs the country. And they got to pay them back, and they needed you as property to be able to collateralize your future labor and set that system up. And the other is, now that you're an object of their property rights, now they can make man-made laws, the administrative state and the administrative agencies promulgating regulations and sending out SWAT teams to your door. That's the reason all this is so important. And it really pivots around this passport thing. And it's not the passport, Dave. It's what paperwork, the possession, is in the possession of the secretary. It's whatever you've got as your determination. Because, you see, he can't tell you what you are. If he was telling you, hey, Dave, you're a slave under the 14th Amendment, and they've been trying that a few times lately, well, ever since I started doing it, not often, okay? But that's open tyranny, see? That's why they've gone all this trouble to reverse all this stuff. Excuse me. Turn everything around
so that they could ask you those two questions and get you to agree with them and sign something. So now you're voluntarily, quote unquote, volunteering and voluntarily agreeing to their fraud and voluntarily giving them consent to govern you in that status. So here's the deal with the passport. Because that's his responsibility, that's why they went after that cabinet office first to set this thing up, okay? And way before Treasury, I imagine they probably already controlled the Treasury, don't know, but anyway, that's what this is. That's why it's so important. It was the key thing to everything they had planned for the future, okay? And so they take over a Treasury, and now they set this up under a presumption of law when they pull the trigger. See, we're operating, Dave, under a presumption of law theory. And if you go to the law dictionary and look up presumption of law, it says a presumption of law is law based upon another fact. So there's another fact over here, and they take that fact, draw over here a conclusion, and say that's a presumption because of that, and this is the way we're going to run. So it's like, oh, we'll pull a fraud off here. We'll do a hypothecated bankruptcy or whatever, and then we already got this other system sitting in the background. We're going to change the systems and bring in it, and then the presumption of law is that this is in bankruptcy, and you're trustees, and you're the surety for the debt, so we can bring this system in where we make you a piece of property and suck off all the essence out of your future labor, you and all your generations, you know, here on Father's Day, for God's sakes. What a plan, huh? Okay, but you see, because of the laws in the paperwork of the you remember Watergate, Dave? You know, all that stuff where you're old enough and back. Okay, well, you know, there were some good things that came out of Watergate, and one of them was a piece of legislation called the paperwork. Pardon me?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, the Paperwork Reduction Act, all right? And that is anything that agency puts out that is defined as a public information gathering request. And that's some paperwork that goes out into the public at large and asks questions. And if it's one of that criteria of papers, forms, they've got to go through a very strict, because of this Paperwork Reduction Act, they've got to go through this very strict procedure to make it get a number called an OMB number from the Office of Management and Budget. Okay, and they've got a real strict criteria for doing that. They have to describe every form and what it does. And you ought to see the way they describe a 1040 form. But we're not getting get off there. It's got to have this OMB number. So the scam to make this whole thing constitutional, because that's a public information gathering request, the scam has to be put into the paper. Okay, that's what I found. And what I found, because I knew it was the feudal system, and I knew you ought to be able to volunteer out, I didn't know what the label was they were putting on the concept of a state citizen. Because they change it. They change it and call it three or four or five different things. But when I saw that passport, I knew this other stuff, and I knew the Secretary of State had all final authority over all matters concerning citizenship. And right there at the top was the warning box, which is your get-out-of-jail-free card that virtually everybody misses, no matter how many times you read it, because you don't understand the system you're fighting. Okay, and the warning is big capital letters. It says warning. It's in the instructions part, and it's now referenced. You got to check, yes, that you know about it, because it's under the new passports. They changed the oath because of what I'm teaching you guys here, okay, years ago. And now one of the checks underneath the oath on your passport application says, I've read and understand the warning box on page so-and-so of the instructions. Well, this warning box is your get-out-of-jail-free card that they've got to put in there because of the Paperwork Reduction Act and the fact that a passport application is a public information gathering request. So it's got to be in there, okay? And they went in now and referenced it in the oath, okay, to cover their damn slaving asses is what they did, because they caught them slaving, all right? So that little warning box where it says you can attach documentation, including affidavits, comma, but you better not lie, or we got 8 or 10 sections of the United States Code we're going to throw at you. Well, they don't tell you that that is that you can volunteer out of servitude, does it? No, they just tell you that you can attach documentation, including affidavits, and you better not lie. Oh, that's real explicit there. Thanks, Zionist slave and piece of crap. Somebody caught you, boys. We caught your asses slaving. And you can't do a damn thing about it, can you? Not a thing. You stand mute. You chicken shits. That's them, Dave. That's your slavers. History's slavers. That's who we're dealing with here. So you understand a little bit more about the importance. Now, you said you had a passport, right?
No, I have one now. It's current.
Okay, well, that's okay. We got music coming up. I'm going to follow that up, and we're going to go over that aspect for you and everybody else as soon as we get rid of these spots. See you in a minute.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Change that world. One thing we can do to change the world is get the IRS off your back, and we're pretty good at that, and they seem to respect it. And what we're doing is confronting them here, and we're talking about getting your status changed with Dave from Nevada. Now, Dave, you said you've got
It was that your first passport, the one that you just got, the one that you've got now?
My first passport. I believe so, yeah.
Okay, well then, and for the audience, if you haven't didn't know anything about this, I didn't know nothing about it. If I'd known something about it, I'd have the answer 10 years sooner. Okay, but regardless, the fear stopped me from interfacing with them. I never had to have one. I wasn't going to go pay for it. I didn't have a lot of money back then. So, but if you've never had a passport before, you have to use a form called a DS-11. And you only have to use that one time the first time. And then on, you use it with the exception of you wait 15 or 20 years and don't do it again and renew it. You use what's called a DS-82. That's Department of State for Department and then the form, okay? Now, there's a little differences between the few two, but there is one interesting thing that's in both of them, Dave, and that's the fact that both of them have that warning box in there.
Okay. Okay.
So what does that tell you? That tells you you can volunteer out at any time. Why is that? It's because we're in the feudal system, and in the feudal system, you could volunteer out at any time. That's why that's like that. Okay? It's only in the first one, if I remember correctly, that they ask you, they don't ask you what you are. Okay? I don't care. I hear somebody wrote me an email that we checked, we were U.S. citizens. No, you didn't, because they didn't ask you. Okay? They only ask you who your parents were. The presumption that I mentioned earlier is, and they lead you down this path, that unless you explicitly tell them otherwise, where they tell you you can do it over in this warning box, you can't change status. And if you don't do that one specific thing, the presumption rolls on that you are a citizen of the United States under the 14th Amendment. That's why this is so important, not only to us, but to them, because this is the only time this behemoth of slavery has to put this in front of us is when we're applying for a passport.
So let me ask you a question.
Well, hold on, let me finish. Because now you're talking about not only who you are as what we say your personality, now you're talking about your legal personality. And because this guy has this responsibility here is why he's got this power and authority, and they built their whole world control system off this right here, and in this one document they got to show it to us. That's why they're hiding it like this. Now what's your question?
Okay, so let's say it's my first time applying for a passport, right? And then I say that I'm under that check mark box, I don't check off that I'm a U.S. citizen.
But you know, they never No, they don't ever ask you, you see?
Oh.
People, and they want to have, well, my passport doesn't say I'm one. Well, no shit, Charlie. They've gone to all this trouble. You think they're going to give you a document where you can show everybody how different you are? Come on!
Okay.
They ask you, were your parents citizens of the United States? Now, there's another outfit out there that's instructing people to say no. But unless they've got a paper on file, they're under this presumption, too, and I got to presume they were, and they take lying on federal forms, passport forms, particularly grievously. We're going to talk to Dave more on the other side. See you in just a second.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.